Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And the Denver Broncos have taken Super Bowl 50.
It is 2 days before Christmas. You are Locked On Broncos. I'm hopeful that the Denver Broncos can bring you home a nice Christmas gift to kind of put the cherry on top of another great Christmas for you, bring home a victory. I'm Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com. With me is my co-host, Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach and NFL draft analyst. Luke, my friend, are you ready to drop some knowledge?
I am, and I'm hopeful this year doesn't bring the Grinch who stole the playoffs.
There you go. There's hope is still alive, and hope goes hand in hand with the Christmas season, the holiday season, and we are committed to bringing you a daily podcast focused entirely on your Denver Broncos at least 5 days a week. Even on the holidays, we're going to hit you 5 days a week. And we're not here to just report the news. We're here to do a deep dive on your favorite team. So please be sure to share the episodes on Twitter, share them on Facebook, share them on Reddit, and follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. We really need each listener to take a quick second, find at Locked On Broncos, click the follow button on Twitter. Very important to us, and we recently had to start the account from scratch. So do us a solid. Of course, the home of Locked On Broncos is Audio Boom, but make sure to subscribe also on iTunes. And if you're an Android user, you want to check out Stitcher, subscribe there. With only two crucial games left on the schedule, you're not going to want to miss a single episode. Now, Luke, the Broncos, we're going to get to all the Chiefs stuff, Broncos Chiefs. But real quick, I want to touch on a couple of topics because the Broncos are dealing with some relatively major injuries, or at least major situations, heading into Week 16. You got inside linebacker Brandon Marshall, missed last week's game with a hamstring, and then defensive end Derek Wolfe left the Patriots game with a neck injury. Then we found out that T.J. Ward is actually in concussion protocol in the testing phase. That's not good. And, of course, Denver's top two tight ends in the protocol as well. Gary Kubiak updated all five of these guys earlier this week. Here's what he had to say real quick.
Brandon, you know, he's still day-to-day process. He actually came out, ran a little bit yesterday. So, we've made some strides, but it'll probably be at the end of the week decision again.
How about Derek Wolfe with his neck? How he's doing?
Derek's doing good. I don't know if he'll be out here tomorrow or not. You know, we'll see. But I think he's got a good chance to get there. You know, so we'll just stay positive and hopefully he'll get there.
What is going on with TJ?
TJ's in concussion protocol. Came in after the game, wasn't feeling good. He's in protocol. He's doing pretty good. So he's in the testing phase right now. So
AJ and Virgil seem like they're on track for Sunday?
I would say they're both doing better. Both were sent home today, but they're both doing better. And, we'll see. Obviously, it's a challenge for us right now.
All right. Now, Luke, we knew Marshall would be day-to-day throughout this week. Wolf probably as well. We knew the tight ends would be in concussion protocol, of course. We didn't know about T.J. Ward, though. The Broncos are banged up at some key positions, and Luke, it's coming at a most inopportune time.
Yeah, well, there's never a particularly opportune time for injuries to key players, but this is a win or go home situation for them, really, this coming week against Kansas City. And if they can't pull this one out, it's going to be long, long, tough sledding, and they're going to need a lot of dominoes to fall for them to make the playoffs. So they're going to need all hands on deck this week.
According to 538.com, if they lose on Sunday, they're out. They're out of the playoffs.
Well, that would do it. Forget the dominoes.
Exactly. So it most certainly is do or die for the Broncos. And, we learned what the character of this team was last year when their backs were against the wall. And let's not forget, they lost in week 14 and 15 last year, went on to win the Super Bowl. They didn't lose another game after that. We understood what that team's character was. And we're going to find out on Christmas night what the makeup of this team's character really is. And you're right. I mean, there's not an opportune time per se for any key player to be injured. And the reality is, for teams down the stretch playing December football, I mean, everybody's banged up somehow, some way. And so teams got to find a way to rise above. And let's hope, we can only hope anyway, that the Broncos are able to do that. But, Luke, we also got an update on C.J. Anderson earlier in the week. And, of course, C.J. tore his meniscus in Denver's Week 7 victory over the Houston Texans. The hope was that he'd be back in time, well, late regular season or in time for the playoffs. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. Here's what Coach Kubiak had to say about it after sitting down with Anderson this week.
What's CJ's status? Will he practice before the end of the season?
It doesn't look like it, Jeff, yeah. I actually had a good sit-down with CJ yesterday. He's doing pretty good. The plan is for him to maybe start running here in the next 2 weeks. So, you know, I would say he's probably on course for some time in February, it looks like. So, no, it doesn't look good.
How did CJ take the conversation? Talking about
When you sit down with CJ, you don't talk much, you listen. I listened and he was really good, and I'm you know, really excited for him and his future. You know, we miss him. He knows that. It's been really hard on him, but CJ's a good kid, and I think sometimes when you have to sit back and watch, you realize how special playing is to you, and I think that's kind of what's happened to him, you know, but he's excited to get back to work.
Luke, some unfortunate news there. You know, the Broncos' odds of making the playoffs as it stands today are at 17%, not great, but if they win out and Miami loses one game at least, the Broncos could make the playoffs. And if they do, of course, they could really use C.J. Anderson, who is arguably the second-best postseason runner in Broncos history behind Terrell Davis.
Yeah, they could. And, you know, we've traced that kind of slacking in the run game back to the loss of Anderson. He was really a strong component of that run game to start the season for them. And it's been pretty evident the loss that his talent has had on this offense. And then the impact of having guys like Devontae Booker, Capri Bibbs, Justin Forsett step up has kind of had on this team. You could also really kind of trace that to the loss of Vanny Janovich and the loss of the 21 personnel factor in this offense. Mm-hmm. So this is a team that really doesn't have an identity right now in the run game, and you'd love to have him back for the playoffs. But, you know, at this point, playoff status be damned, I really wouldn't bring C.J. Anderson back. I would just, you know, give him that extra time to get healthy, you know, pat him on the shoulder and say, we'll see you next year, bud.
Yeah, and he's a competitor, and he wants to be out there with his team. And as Coob talked about there, you know, being away from the game like that, being banged up and having to rehab makes guys appreciate the game a little bit more and being a part of the team on a daily basis in season. But, yeah, I mean, the Broncos signed him to a relatively big money contract, and for the sake of the player and the team, you know, they just got to focus on getting him right. So we'll see CJ next year. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, break down some key players, reveal our keys to victory. But before we do, let's talk about SeatGeek really quick. It's week 16 of the football season. Broncos are facing a couple of must-win games. If you want to be there, SeatGeek is the easiest way to find tickets for the last couple games of the season. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest games of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to buy tickets. I can be anywhere and I can tap, 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 instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because they go out and price compare for you by searching multiple ticket sites. And prices can vary. You understand that if you've ever bought tickets on the internet. But SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck, which is why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value, which allows you to immediately see any underpriced seats and find the best deals that are going to fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. And best of all, Locked On Broncos listeners get $20 as a rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how you get that. First off, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. And of course, you're going to want to enter promo code LOBRONCOS, and then SeatGeek will send you $20 American after you've made your first purchase. So go download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code LOBRONCOS today. All right, Luke, let's move on to scouting the Kansas City Chiefs a little bit. We'll start on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, to kind of do a bird's eye view of where things stand for the Chiefs, you know, we saw them about a month ago. Where they stand today, the offense comes into week 16 ranked 23rd in total offense, 23rd in rushing, 22nd in passing. They're the 15th scoring offense, averaging 22.8 points per game. And as we heard from the Locked On Chiefs boys, Kansas City fans, they're about as frustrated with their offense as Broncos fans are with the Broncos offense. So, you know, you look at both these teams side by side offensively, and it's pretty scary how similar they are statistically. Both teams are ranked pretty much across the board in the bottom third in most categories, but the Chiefs have a veteran quarterback in Alex Smith, Luke, and he can be a difference maker despite what many of his critics will say. I mean, we can all remember what he was able to do late against the Broncos in week 12.
Yeah, and he did miss some throws this past week against Tennessee, which is no doubt the reason for part of their collapse. I'm personally on the record as saying that Alex Smith is a good NFL quarterback, but I don't know if he's going to be that guy who's going to get you to the next level, you know, winning playoff games, making it to the conference championships or to the Super Bowl. But I do think he has the talent to play in the NFL. I just the stars need to align for him to really have success on the larger stage at this point for me.
All right, let's scout a couple key offensive players for the Chiefs. Now, again, these are guys, key guys that you want to keep an eye on who are going to factor into how this game on Christmas night is going to shake out. And we're going to start with Tyreek Hill. Now, going into week 12, this was a guy most Broncos fans were going, you know, who? We talked about him on the show leading up to that game. He is obviously a very potent weapon for the Chiefs. He can hurt you on, you know, as a receiver, as a running back. He hurt the Broncos in the return game. He's a very formidable opponent, Luke. Talk about what makes this guy so dangerous.
Well, what makes him dangerous is one very, very simple thing, and that is speed. The guy is fast. I mean, the Chiefs, what they really need to do with Tyreek Hill is they need to scheme to get him more touches. You know, to me, what football can, you know, in the end, it comes down to offensively is getting the ball in the hands of your weapons and letting them do the damage, and that's something that the Chiefs failed to do against the Titans. Now, they got him involved early, lined him up in the backfield, and they went with an old Andy Reid staple, which is the speed counter. You start the sprint action away, and then you give the ball back to that running back and run the counter backside of that. So that gets the defense flowing laterally, and then the counter just gets it going back hard the other direction. And with his speed, there was nobody was going to touch him on that 67-yard touchdown run. So the Chiefs really need to scheme their plays to get the ball into his hands to make sure that he can make plays, because that was the one touch he had, and it went for, you know, an explosive long-distance play, and it got him a touchdown. You know, if that's getting the ball in his hands on screens, deep shots, if they're going to put him in the backfield and, you know, get the ball to him that way, I don't really care how it is, but the Chiefs have got to figure out a way how to get this guy more involved in the game plan, because he is a dynamic player.
Now, Broncos fans listening to this show, they don't want the ball in Tyreek Hill's hands. But the reality is, I think that Andy Reid is going to learn from last week's mistake. You know, he was targeted three times, didn't catch a single pass. In the six games leading up to last week's contest, he was averaging about eight targets per game. So I think you're going to see Andy Reid, especially going back to how bad he was able to hurt Hill, that is, the Broncos in week 12, try and come back to feed Tyreek Hill. And Wade Phillips and the Broncos defense are going to have an answer for him, you know, if they hope to keep him from lighting up the scoreboard once again.
Yeah, and here's the kicker is Tyreek Hill, he made an impact last game. We know he can make an impact. My biggest key with Tyreek Hill is, can the coaching staff collectively get the ball to him? Can they scheme to get him involved in the game plan? Because in the second half, they relied so much on just bubble screens and just kind of playing not to lose and protecting their lead that they ultimately it cost them the game. And so with Tyreek Hill, can that coaching staff, can the Chiefs figure out a way how to get him involved? Because we've seen how dynamic he is. And ultimately, there's nothing Denver can do about whether or not he gets involved in the game plan. They can only scheme to stop him.
There you go. Now, another guy we need to talk about who did not suit up in Week 12 is their number one receiver, Jeremy Maclin, a guy who, you know, you talk about the raw talent, speed, and explosion that Tyreek Hill brings to the game. Jeremy Maclin's at the other end of that developmental curve in terms of being a, you know, route runner, savvy, understanding coverages. you know, this is a guy who's been productive. He's been prolific in the NFL. He's an old Andy Reid draft pick dating back to his time in Philadelphia. Again, we didn't see him in Week 12, Luke, but Jeremy Maclin is healthy again, and we can expect to see him with gusto on Christmas night.
Yeah, so Maclin came back, had a very quiet first game back after injury against Oakland in that Thursday night football game. But he stepped up in a big way against Tennessee, had 8 targets, caught 6 of them for a season-high 82 yards, one of the biggest plays being a 44-yard catch. Now, you know, if the Broncos are going to get over-concentrated on, over-focused on stopping Tyreek Hill, who, you know, he's a rookie Pro Bowler. We know what he did to them last time they played him. You know, they can't forget about Jeremy Maclin, who is also a receiving threat. And with Travis Kelce drawing attention, Tyreek Hill, Jeremy Maclin could stand to benefit because he is a very solid player himself. And, you know, my expectation would be the Broncos put Tlaib on him and then have Harris just shadow Tyreek Hill wherever he ends up in the formation.
I hope that's the way it shakes out for the Broncos. You know, let's use, as you talk about with the Chiefs needing to, you know, put the ball in their skill, their playmakers' hands. You know, conversely, Wade Phillips needs to use his best players, namely Tlaib and Harris, to neutralize those two threats. And of course, in so doing, you gotta roll the dice a little bit with the tight end. But between the linebackers and the safeties and your extra corner, you should be able to blanket him. But those are a couple of guys to keep a close eye on. Again, you know, Tyreek Hill, I mean, he impacted the game in a major way. You could argue won the game for Kansas City. So he's a guy in particular keep an eye on. And now, Luke, let's turn to the other side of the ball, the Chiefs defense. You look at these guys on paper, and, you know, they're not the scariest bunch when you just look at the stats. 28th in total yards, 28th rushing defense, 19th passing defense. Their claim to fame, however, is their ability to take the ball away and, of course, give their offense extra possessions and often good field position. Their 28 takeaways have resulted in the Chiefs being plus 13 in the turnover differential, which is second best in the NFL. And we can't forget, even with the loss of Derek Johnson, their Pro Bowl inside linebacker, this team is still peppered with elite talent, Luke, and not a unit to be taken lightly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that starts with, you know, talent up front, and that starts with Justin Houston. He's really a pass rusher who we saw take over the game last week, or last time the Broncos faced the Chiefs, rather. You know, he came after young Trevor Siemian. He absolutely horsewhipped Tyson Brailo on several of those sacks.
It was
horrific. I mean, yeah. We were watching a man just getting dismantled on live national television. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. There's no other way around it. And so bad that he got benched. Sam Brailo got benched and the Broncos put in Stevenson, who held on, so to speak, for dear life, pun intended.
Managed to at least keep him from getting any more sacks, though, in the game, if I recall correctly.
He did indeed. And that's the key there. Can they hold or can they contain whatever your verbiage here? It's like the rub route versus pick route. Hold, contain. Well,
there you go.
If you're going to hold a pass rusher, it's holding.
as our friend Chris Clark at Locked On Chiefs would say.
Exactly. Whatever it is, you got to stop Justin Houston from getting to the quarterback. You got to stop him from getting sacks, turnovers, and you got to put a tight end over there. You got to put a running back over there. You got to chip him. You know, whatever you got to do. Watch him on twist stunts. Whatever you got to do, you got to focus on that first and foremost to keep Trevor Siemian upright.
Yeah, and Chris, you know we love you, dog. But Justin Houston, oh my gosh. You landed right on the number one thing. This is a guy who has traditionally had some very big games against the Broncos. Week 12, he single-handedly in the first half just wrecked shop against the Broncos. You know, there was that safety. That's three sacks in the first half. So, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, is like a Von Miller. He can be a game wrecker. He can affect the outcome of games. And, you know, you can only hope that Gary Kubiak and the coaching staff this time around maybe has learned their lesson in terms of figuring out ways, even if you have to sell out from time to time to do it, to neutralize Justin Houston and take your chances on the other side with Tom Bahali or, you know, if it's what's the other guy's name? I'm having a brain fart. The 55,
D Ford.
D Ford. Thank you. you know, take your chances there with single matchups, and just whatever you do, don't allow Justin Houston to take control of this game. Now, another guy, obviously, that we got to keep an eye on, made it yet again to another Pro Bowl, is the physical, emotional leader of that Chiefs defense, safety Eric Berry. Another guy we saw in Week 12 land some wood on the Broncos. And, Luke, talk about Eric Berry, why the Broncos. In fact, what I want to hear, Luke, is talk about what the Broncos have to do to make sure Eric Berry doesn't hurt them.
Oof, that's a big one. I mean, last week, Eric Berry led the Chiefs defense with tackles, 11 tackles from his safety spot, which is saying a lot. You know, when you have a generational talent, which I would say Eric Berry is rapidly, you know, he's turning himself into that conversation.
Definitely.
It's hard to find a way that they don't impact the game. I mean, we saw, you know, Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu and Brian Dawkins and all the great safeties of yesteryear. They're always around the football because they have a nose for the ball, right? You'll just see them cruise missiling in out of nowhere and making plays. And that's really what Eric Berry is this year. I mean, he's so sound in his assignments that you're not going to get him to cheat. You know, he's going to cheat when he wants to because he's about to make a play. And I think the perfect example of this was you go back to the pick two that he had against the Falcons. Down in the red zone, he's having the defense between the receiver and the tackle. He looks outside, make sure that the receiver is releasing off the line against the cornerback and that he's not coming back against him. And then he just kind of floats back, and when that receiver runs underneath, he's just right there. I mean, he plays his assignments so well. The Denver really, you know, there's a certain point at which you throw up your hands and say, you know what, this guy's going to make an impact against us tonight no matter what we do. And, you know, we have to live with it at a certain point. That said, they're going to have to, you know, clean up an underneath game because you don't want to go over the top against Eric Berry. You know, more crossing routes, more kind of hitches, which I know that they love to throw. So just kind of keep it underneath and not go over the top against a guy like Eric Berry.
Now, we understand the magnitude of this game. I mean, it really is win or go home for the Broncos. And, you know, talking about keys to victory, and I'll start out with this one, Luke, is, you know, with the Broncos, they're backed into a corner. And I think we need to see, after all the drama that came out of the Patriots' loss, you know, with the locker room issues, the cornerbacks, the defensive backs, John with the offensive lineman, Tlaib versus Okung and all that. You know, and even Tlaib talked later in the week about how, you know, it's not a big deal. It's just like being a family. You know, I might argue with my mother, he says, but she'll still make me breakfast in the morning, you know. And I think there's something to that. I don't think we should read too much into what happened in the locker room, but it's cause for concern, especially this late in the season. And I think, you know, there's two ways that this can turn out for the Broncos. Either that type of an incident can be a catalyst to either propel to coalesce and propel them on to being a stronger unit together, collectively, or conversely, you know, being the seeds that are sown that the Broncos start falling apart. And again, last year we got a good beat on the character of this team, and for the most of this season of 2016, most of the empirical data led us to believe that same type of collective team character was intact. The will to win, the physicality outmatching the opponent week in and week out, but really just coming down to, in the key moments of the game, They're the players. They're the team that are gonna be smart. They're gonna make the necessary plays. You know, failure is not an option type mentality, and that's been missing the last couple of weeks. You could argue that's been missing really ever since the bye. But this time around, if they want a shot at the postseason, they have to find a way to win. That will has to exist. The physicality on the road in Arrowhead. Hey, the last five seasons in a row, the Broncos have won in Arrowhead. The last time it took a miracle play in the fourth quarter with that fumble that Bradley Roby returned for a score to emerge victorious. This time, you know, you can only hope that the Broncos play well enough as a unit that it doesn't take a miracle play for them to come out on top. But ultimately, for me, Luke, it starts with just having that elite will to win and being the more physical team on Christmas night?
Yeah, for me, what it comes down to is so many times when I've spoken about the keys to the game, I've spoken about, you know, what do the players need to do. This week, for me, it's the coaches. The coaches, they need to be smarter, they need to be better, and they need to really kind of rise to the occasion this week of all weeks. I think that really starts with personnel. Just who you have on the field in any given situation. That, you know, do we see Jordan Norwood active again this week? Does Khalif Raymond make a reappearance on the active roster? And do we see Justin Forsett get some run with the starters instead of coming off the bench and then not even really getting touches on the football? You know, do we see a team that is better suited to handle Justin Houston that's going to give him more attention? Do we see a team that's going to be able to handle speed and going to be able to handle physicality from the Chiefs offense? These are questions that the Broncos coaches are, you know, as we speak, busy scribbling away in their offices, because this is what they have to figure out, because this is the game that they win or they're quite literally done. So this is one that they need, I think, more than any other that you could argue this season, because it comes down to this one no matter what's happened so far this year. So for me, the coaches, this is the game that they need to show that they're not coaching for their jobs, that they are more than capable of handling this kind of stage and passing this kind of test.
I like it. Yep. Calling the coaches out. You know, that's been one of the talking points and points of frustration for us throughout the second half of this season in particular. But let's predict this thing, Luke. I've been chewing on it all week long. I've kind of been going back and forth. Why don't you start us off? Tell us who you got winning and why.
I do see the Chiefs winning this one. I'll be straight up. I'll be honest. I just think that the way the Chiefs have been going so far this season is they just have been overwhelming their opponents. I mean, they jumped out early against the Titans. They came out and just stonewalled the Raiders early. And I believe that they're capable of getting out to big leads. Now, the issue is, what happens when they get there? Because they get conservative, they start trying to protect the lead, and they don't play to keep winning. They play not to lose. And as all too often it happens that when you play not to lose, guess what happens? You do. Now, the Titans are a very good football team. I believe the Broncos are as well. And I think that they can take advantage of that if they are behind early. I just don't know that they have the killer instinct from the coaches to make the necessary adjustments in game if they get behind early to really bring that game back. So I do think Kansas City is going to win this one 21-17. I think they're going to get out early, a couple score lead. I think the Broncos are going to bring it back, tie game. But then I think Kansas City coasts 7-3 in the fourth quarter to a win.
Yeah, and again, this one's been tough for me. Earlier in the week, I was leaning towards the Chiefs, and late in this week, just man, it's still tough for me to call this game, because there's just that part of my brain that doesn't want to admit, if I'm being honest, that doesn't want to admit that these coaches don't have it under control. The talent's there. I mean, you got 2,000-yard receivers. You know, you got a quarterback that's for the most part played well enough for you to win. Yeah, the offensive line has been a shambles, but I'm, as you all know, of the belief that a lot of that boils down to the coaching. Matchups have been an issue. Adjustments have been an issue. They have everything they need defensively to handle the Chiefs, and I think they will. I think the defense is going to come out on Sunday and play one of their more inspired games of the season. The question in my mind, as you so eloquently pointed out, Luke, in your keys, is, are the coaches up to the challenge? And that's where I'm at, because that's, at this stage anyway, it seems that offense in particular is most dependent upon is coaching decisions, play calls, scheme, matchups, you name it. And although I'm not 100% sure that the coaches are, one last time, Gary Kubiak, that staff, you guys did almost the impossible last year with that roster and a Peyton Manning falling apart, leading the Broncos to their third Super Bowl championship in team history. And I can't, just for the life of me, I can't fathom that collective experience and that collective knowledge has just suddenly left you. I mean, most of the pieces you need to win are still there. So I'm going with the Broncos this week. I'm I think it's Christmas Day. I think Broncos fans are going to get one last thing to be grateful for on Christmas Day. Broncos win a close one, 24-21. And that's it. That's all the time we have for today's episode. Luke, Merry Christmas, my friend.
And to you, I would just like to point out to everybody that that is not the prediction he actually has on the sheet here. So, in the true spirit of the holidays, he's going with the curveball out of left field and actually picking the Broncos.
I'm going gut. You know, like I said, the rational side of me is saying Chiefs, but, you know, you can call it the emotional side. You can call it your gut instinct, whatever. I'm picking the Broncos, and we want to wish you guys, everyone out there, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to all our listeners out in Broncos country. Please be safe this weekend. Be smart. Don't forget to follow at Locked On Broncos on Twitter. And, of course, you can find Luke in the Twitterverse at Luke Polglaze, myself at Chad N. Jensen. We want to hear from you, so hit us up. Check out the other killer podcasts on the network, Locked On NFL, you know, Locked On Draft. We'll be back for our gut reaction show on Monday, and we want to hear from you Sunday. Tweet us your questions about the game, your concerns, your observations. We'll try to address them on Monday's show. Don't forget to subscribe. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you next week.
Mile High Huddle.
Hey.